All right, Alexander, let's just jump right into it. We need to talk about Obama. Who is the man behind the curtain, the guy that orchestrated the entire Russiagate hoax and orchestrated the deep state targeting of U.S. President Donald Trump? I'm saying that because I believe it's without a doubt now. I think the evidence is overwhelming that it was Obama in the end who was running the show. Maybe he was getting orders elsewhere as well. Maybe he was getting orders from Hillary Clinton and the Clinton machine. But there's no doubt that he gave the directive to target Donald Trump. Alexander, let me read you some quotes from Obama's inner circle from the transcripts that Schiff released. And I say that putting into context that these are the same people that were running around the mainstream media, MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, saying that U.S. President Donald Trump was a puppet of Vladimir Putin and a puppet of Russia, and there was no doubt about it. They said they had all the evidence that Russia meddled in U.S. elections, and they were confident about their statements that they made. But under oath, they sang a very, very different song. When they were under oath, this is what they said. Here is James Clapper. "I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election." That is James Clapper, Alexander. Here is Samantha Power. "I am not in possession of anything. I'm not in possession and didn't read or absorb information that came from out of the intelligence community when asked about Trump's involvement with Russia and if she had any information." Here is Susan Rice. "I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence when asked about evidence that Trump was conspiring with Russia." And here is Obama insider, Obama best friend, Loretta Lynch. "I do not recall that being briefed up to me." That is Loretta Lynch. And Alexander, I know you're going to talk about CrowdStrike as well. So let me pull up a quote from Sean Henry, the CrowdStrike CEO, when they were asked about the information they got from the DNC that supposedly implicated the Trump campaign and Russia. This is what Sean Henry said. "As it relates to the DNC, we have indicators that data was exfiltrated. We did not have concrete evidence." We did not have concrete evidence. Alexander, I pulled up those quotes from a Tucker Carlson intro that he gave about 2 days ago. He did a great job breaking things down. Go ahead, Alexander. What do you make of the quotes that I read you?
Well, I think they're absolutely explosive. Now, can I just say a few quick things? First of all, we now know why Schiff sat on these transcripts, because, I mean, they are damning. I mean, the things that you've just quoted to me are daring. Let's remember who we're talking about. Clapper comes along. I can remember him. All you have to do is go through all of those endless interviews he gave. Perhaps he should do it fast, because I predict that MSNBC, CNN, and all of them will be taking them down very quickly. But he was making it crystal clear that he absolutely believed it, that he gave every indication that he was sure that there had been collusion. He was saying it in the weeks running up to the publication of the Mueller investigation, the Mueller report. I mean, as recently as that, you know, right up until, you know, the moment when the report came out, he was saying, you know, that he was looking, predicting that there was going to be a proof that there was, you know, that there was collusion between the Russians and Trump. Let's not forget, that was Clapper. Clapper, who was he? He was Obama's, President Barack Obama's, Director of National Intelligence. The man who was able to go straight into the White House, into the Oval Office, talk with Obama about intelligence matters. We know he did that sort of thing, because we know one incident when that actually happened during the Syrian war, when he burst into a meeting that Obama was happening in the Oval Office to discuss options over Syria. So this is a man very close to Obama. This is the man in overall charge of U.S. intelligence. He is going around after he retires telling everybody this is what happened. And on oath, he says, well, actually, I have no information about it at all. Now, he is the man who is Director of National Intelligence would have had all the information. It would have all come to him. And as the director of national intelligence, he would have been advising the president. So if Clapper hadn't seen any intelligence, we'll come to Obama in a moment, but can I just say, if Clapper saw no intelligence, that means that Obama didn't see any intelligence either. That's Clapper. Think about the others. Susan Rice was, of course, Obama's national security advisor. She also would have been receiving all the intelligence. Samantha Power was one of Obama's greatest friends and strongest political allies. She was UN ambassador, US ambassador to the UN. These were the two people who we know in the last weeks of the Obama administration, after the 2016 election, but before the inauguration, during the transition period, were going around unmasking people. They were planting bombs, naming all sorts of people who were going to be involved in the Trump administration and who had been involved in the Trump campaign on a premise of Russian collusion with Donald Trump's campaign, about which it turns out they were admitting in sworn evidence to Congress they had no evidence of. I mean, they were destroying people's reputations on a theory that they knew they had no facts for. And of course, the others that we're talking about, Loretta Lynch, Attorney General of the United States, in overall charge of the Justice Department. Remember, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is a part of the Justice Department bureaucracy. It reports ultimately to the Attorney General of the United States. And what was she doing? Well, as they were running off, getting FISA warrants, spying on Carter Page, spying very probably on Papadopoulos, spying almost certainly on Michael Flynn, launching counter-espionage investigations all over the place. Well, she was just sitting back and letting it happen. And yet she too received no information that any collusion was actually going on. So these were the people who, as you rightly said, were promoting this story relentlessly after the election, to some extent during the election. Remember Clapper? Clapper signs off in October 2016, just a few weeks before the election, this extraordinary statement. You may remember, Alex, I analyzed it. I said, what a manipulative language it uses, in which, again, they were saying that the Russians were helping Donald Trump, but it was clearly intended to plant the impression that they were just helping Trump, but that Trump was welcoming and was in some way involved in receiving that help. These same people admitted to Congress when they were put on oath that they had no information to support those claims. What a difference it would have made. What a difference it would have made if what they were saying to Congress had been the same that they had been saying in public. If Clapper, Rice, Lynch, Powell, all of them, had come along to MSNBC, CNN, and all the others and said, hand on heart, I have seen no evidence of any collusion at all. If they'd seen that, Russiagate would never have happened, and we would have been spared the nightmare that we went through for 3 years.
Now, Alexander, I know you're going to get to CrowdStrike as well in the quote that I brought up about CrowdStrike, but I have a couple of questions, comments, and questions. We know that Sally Yates, during those transcripts as well, she all but admitted that Obama gave her the directive. I'm simplifying it, but that was the impression that we got from her testimony as well, that it originated from Obama. And she even said that she was a little shocked by it, even though Sally Yates is not exactly the most honorable of people. She was even shocked by what Obama laid out for her. But number one, comment a little on Obama's directive. that he gave in order to simplify the sharing process between intelligence agencies. I think that was the first hint that Obama was the person behind all of this.
Yes.
Number two, Alexander, which really bothers me, and you hinted at it just now, the Republicans had control of the Senate and Congress for a period of time.
Yes.
We know that there were Republicans in the intelligence committees that had seen these testimonies. Why didn't they do anything about this?
Well, I think that's a very important point and one we have to come back to. But let's first of all come back to Obama. Obama, President of the United States, person in charge of the executive branch, all of these people who we just mentioned, they are his people. They are reporting to him. Many of them are not just his people in terms of being people who run departments like the Justice Department the UN ambassadorship. They're also his personal friends. What they know is what he knows. He knows that there is no factual basis for these collusion allegations whatsoever. He's also the great constitutional lawyer. That is an important point to remember. And as a lawyer, he also knows the absolute in overriding importance of preserving internal walls. Because if you don't have internal walls within a intelligence community, all sorts of things can go backwards and forwards, and all kinds of cabals and conspiracies and plots can happen under, you know, the sort of concept of sharing, which of course can lead to rogue operations running out of control. So what does Obama do? He actually does away with these internal walls, not entirely, but he weakens them. And of course, he promotes. He doesn't do it publicly, but he's promoting all of these people who are going around saying, he lets them insinuate this story that there is collusion going on between Donald Trump and Russia, which he knows isn't true. And last but not least, and for me, one of the most damning things about what he was up to, you may remember that back in March 2017, this is a largely forgotten episode, though not, I think, one should ever forget. Donald Trump tweeted that he had his telephone had been tapped. And Obama denies it. He actually, he doesn't deny it. That was so interesting. He comes along and he gives this extraordinary convoluted statement in very, very twisted language, which everybody reads as a denial. But in actual fact, it isn't a denial at all. He clearly knew what was going on. He was clearly hiding behind other people. What he does is he lets all those people go around saying all these things. He weakens, as I said, the internal walls. And when it's all over, when his administration is over, when it's finished, what does he do? Does he come along as former president of the United States and say, there's all these theories of collusion going on, but I never saw it. I was the president and it never came to me. Wouldn't that have been the responsible thing for an ex-president to do? Not at all. He does nothing of the kind. He also lets this wild story take hold. So why does he let the wild story take hold? Because he knew it was a wild story at the time. And nonetheless, he not only promoted it, he took positive steps to let it circulate. He weakened the internal walls. He gave the green light to Samantha Power and Susan Rice to unmask all those people. I have no doubt at all about it.
And the Republicans, Alexander?
Well, that is a very, very good question. I'm pretty sure some of those Republicans, are people that we consider heroes, at least have played a positive role, I'd say, in this whole affair. I mean, people like Nunes, Gowdy, Jordan, they're the people who would have been aware of what was going on and would have read these transcripts. I don't understand why they weren't more straightforward about this than they were, why they couldn't just straightforwardly say that what is being said to us in private is not the same as what's being said to us in public, why they couldn't have directly challenged or brought back someone like Clapper, who was going around you know, the TV studios implying one thing and telling Congress something different. Why they didn't do that? And I'm going to make a guess. I think that at that time, we're talking about 2017, 2018, I think some Republicans, two things. I think some Republicans were still very wary of Donald Trump and didn't entirely like him. I mean, you know, he became president and, in fact, Republican Party nominee very much against their initial instincts. So I suspect there was some element of that involved. But I think the other thing actually was that they were probably looking for Mueller to clear this all up for them. They thought that if they came along and said, Clapper, Loretta Lynch, Samantha Power, Susan Rice are denying everything to us, which they're asserting when they go on before the TV studios. Remember, the transcripts themselves could not be released. Rice, Clapper, Powell, all of them would have said, well, you know, this is a misrepresentation of what we were saying to the committee, and it's an attempt to derail Mueller. So this is possibly the most plausible explanation for it. But it is strange, and I think we should ask these people that question and see what their answer is. I mean, it does really perplex me. I would point out, by the way, that if we're talking about, you know, the fact that these transcripts were supposedly classified, I mean, the Republicans were very careful not to publish classified transcripts. The Democrats were nothing like as careful. I can remember Dianne Feinstein coming along and producing Glenn Simpson's testimony.
All right.
Just breaking rules. I mean, you know, so why are the Republicans observing rules and the Democrats being allowed to break them?
All right. Let's keep on moving on, Alexander. We have a lot to cover. So we know that former President Obama now is in a panic. I'm going to read you a headline from Zero Hedge. Distraction, question mark. Obama smack talks Trump's chaotic disaster virus response as Russia hoax exposed. And this is from the Gateway Pundit, Alexander, which is also exposing how panicked Obama is now that the word is getting out as to his antics in 2016 and 17. On a side note, I was watching a Fox interview with KT McFarland, who was working with Flynn, and she mentioned that Obama was behind this. She said it in a much more diplomatic tone, but she brought up Barack Obama's name a number of times and how he was targeted.
So is Sidney Powell, by the way.
There you go. There you go. So people are starting to talk about Obama's hand in all of this. This is from the Gateway Pundit. An audio of former President Barack Obama, whose administration spied on the Trump team and administration, was released by deep state reporter Michael Isikoff at Yahoo News on Friday night. That name sounds familiar, Michael Isikoff. And Obama said this, I'll read it to you very, very quickly. The news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn. Obama said during a virtual discussion with members of the Obama Alumni Association, quote, the fact that there was no precedent that anybody can find for someone who has been charged with perjury, just getting off scot-free. That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. And when you start moving in those directions, it can accelerate pretty quickly, as we've seen in other places. Alexander, what do you make of the stuff that I just read you?
Let's just deal firstly with the point, the argument, if one can call it an argument, that Obama is making. What perjury? What perjury is he referring to? We have now established that there was no proper investigation, that Flynn was not interviewed by the FBI agents Strzok and the other man, Piętka, as part of a proper investigation, because there was no crime that they were investigating. They knew that there was no crime, and he'd been cleared in the counterintelligence investigation that had been launched against him. As Barr correctly says, that inverted commas investigation, that questioning of Flynn was not legitimately predicated. In other words, the Justice Department now knows he is innocent. How can the Justice Department continue to press charges against someone it knows is innocent? That would be unprecedented. I mean, that wouldn't be just unprecedented. It would be astonishing. It would be terrible. You are pressing charges against an innocent man. That is absolutely appalling. Now, you're quite right. The Gateway pundit is also completely right. This bears all the elements of panic. And why? Because we've come very, very close now to finding a smoking gun. You remember the word smoking gun? We've come very, very close to this. Now, we need to get the sequence of events carefully right. There is Flynn talks to the Russian ambassador on the 29th of December. The FBI are listening in on the call. Obama meets with a group of people at the Oval Office on the 5th of January. Firstly, the intelligence leadership, the leadership of the intelligence community are there, Clapper, the NSA, all of those people. Then that meeting ends. This is on the 5th of January. This is, by the way, in order to look at the Russian hacking allegations. That meeting ends. Obama asks some people to stay. Who are they? They are Susan Rice, his national security advisor, Joe Biden, the vice president, Sally Yates, the deputy attorney general, who's soon to be acting attorney general, and James Comey. And what does Obama tell them? What does he tell these people? Something that Sally Yates says she'd never heard of before. He tells them, Flynn has been talking to the Russian ambassador. Yates says that she had no knowledge of this up to this point. And it's absolutely clear. Do you remember we were speculating a short time ago that Obama had read the transcripts? We now know that he had received the transcripts and he had read them. And it's after that meeting, that all sorts of stories start to circulate about, first of all, that there's going to be, all this Logan Act nonsense that starts to appear. So 5th January, there's this meeting where he raises the issue. Obama who raises the issue with Sally Yates and the others about Flynn and Flynn's discussions with the Russian ambassador. That's the 5th of January. On the 6th of January, Comey and the other intelligence officers meet with President-elect Donald Trump and Donald Trump's national security advisor, who's Michael Flynn. Comey stays behind, shows to Flynn and Trump the information about the Steele dossier. Trump and Flynn tell Comey to take a running jump. They tell him to go packing. A few days later, 11th of January, BuzzFeed publishes the Steele dossier. 12th of January, we start getting the story published in the media about Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador. So, meeting with Obama, they talk about Flynn. Flynn meets Comey with Trump the following day. A few days later, the Steele dossier is published. The day after, information about Flynn's conversations with the Russians are published. And in the meantime, we have all this talk about the Logan Act, the 1799 Act that supposedly prohibits private individual, which, by the way, Flynn was not, from conducting foreign policy on behalf of the United States. Now, who first brought up the idea of the Logan Act? I think all the evidence points clearly in that direction, that it wasn't Sally Yates, who is now very clear, was very uncomfortable about a lot of what was going on. It wasn't Sally Yates. It was the person who is most likely to have known about it, because he's the great professor of constitutional law, and he knows about all these forgotten acts and laws which have existed and have, you know, been around for ages, because that's what academics do. I think it was Obama, and I can so easily picture Obama, an angry Obama, telling Yates and Comey and Biden and Rice what Flynn has done by talking to the Russian ambassador in that way violates the Logan Act. And Yates says, what? She goes away, she looks it all up, and the whole thing takes life from there. That's how it looks to me. So we don't yet have the actual smoking gun, because we don't yet have the admission that it was Obama who first brought up the Logan Act. But I am sure that happened. And if that admission ever comes forth, well, then we're in a completely different ball game. There is something else which is very important about that meeting between Obama, Rice, Biden. Biden, remember, is also there. and Comey and Yates, which is that on the 20th of January, all this happens very quickly, one thing after the other. On the 20th of January, the last day of Obama's administration, Susan Rice gets onto her computer and emails to herself. She constructs and emails to herself an incredibly elaborate email giving some kind of an account of this conversation on the 5th of January. 15 days after, she creates, if you like, a kind of attendance note. Why? She's not distributing it to anybody. It's apparently, so we're told, an internal document for her own use. Why? Why wait? If you're going to do that anyway, why wait 15 days? And of course, the suggestion which has been made by people like Byron York, who is one of the other great investigative journalists on this, but apparently a lot of Republicans are also saying this, is that this internal memo, this not internal memo, this personal memo Susan Rice made to herself was to create a cover story for what happened at this meeting. Now, when people start to do that, when they start to create cover stories, that in itself is a kind of evidence that they're covering up something. What are they covering up? That Obama was the person who came up with the theory of the Logan Act and basically set them loose on Flynn. That seems to me the construction that makes by far the best sense of this affair.
That's why all the Dems have been flipping out and going crazy over this entire Russiagate thing, because it all leads back to their messiah.
Indeed, and it's also why Schiff, why Schiff has spent all that time sitting on those documents. Bear in mind, by the way, Schiff is the other person who's promoting all these stories, saying, you know, that there's clear evidence of collusion. How many times did he say that?
That goes without question, yes.
Schiff knew everything. All right, let's forget about Schiff.
We all know.
Almost inconsequential. Exactly. But the internal people knew about it, and it bears all the hallmarks of a plot with, I'm going to say it straightforwardly, Obama as the chief plotter. So there he is. He's at the center of all of this. You only have to look at the dates of the events and the meeting which he attended. And he had the transcripts of Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador. He had the meeting with all the right people. And as I said, we have this very strange cover story put together by Susan Rice, who is, of course, let's always remember this, Barack Obama's other close personal friend. So we're all friends, we're all chums, we're all friends together, and we're busy putting all this information together. Yeah. We do need to just mention also the CrowdStrike evidence.
Let me give you the lead for that. There's no doubt that everyone has been circling the wagons for 3 years to protect Obama. Yeah. But Alexander, I'm going to read you four bullet points that you sent me via WhatsApp. Don't worry, nothing bad, Alexander, in this WhatsApp message. But this is what you said. Point number one, as a sort of recap as to what's just gone down. Mm. Point number one, Mueller found no evidence of collusion. We now know the Trump dossier upon which it is all based was a load of bleep. Horse bleep, to be more specific. Point number two, the Flynn case has been exposed as an FBI frame-up. Point number three, which is the CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike has admitted that they have no idea how WikiLeaks got the DNC Podesta emails. Mueller admitted the same in his report and indictment, and CrowdStrike admitted in congressional testimony that they have no definite proof that Russia did hack the DNC. And I read you the quote in the beginning as well from the CEO. And point number four, the social media case against Prigozhin's company collapsed with the charges dropped. You also mentioned that this leaves the Papadopoulos story as still standing, and I'm sure that will also get knocked down in short order. Alexander, you sent me that message. You mentioned CrowdStrike as well. I leave it to you to close out the video.
Indeed. Let's quickly talk about CrowdStrike, because I think this is incredible and extraordinary information, because of course CrowdStrike are the only people who actually carried out the forensic examination and provided expert evidence that there had been a hack of the DNC computers, that the emails from those computers had been stolen via that hack, and that the Russians were behind it. And what has happened is that we now learn from these transcripts that on oath, the CEO of CrowdStrike admitted that CrowdStrike actually doesn't actually have conclusive proof of any of those things. They can't be sure. They're not absolutely sure that there was a hack, and they're not actually sure that any information was, as he puts it, exfiltrated, or that the emails in question were exfiltrated. So this famous CrowdStrike report, which, by the way, we also know was never completed, this famous CrowdStrike report amounts to nothing. It's just all a guess. At best, it's a guess. And of course, please remember, the FBI never granted access to those servers. They never carried out their own report. They never carried out their own forensic tests. They relied entirely on that CrowdStrike report, which was never finished. And CrowdStrike's own CEO has wrote back on it. So there we are. That's the start of the whole story. That was, that the Russians hacked the DNC computers, stole the emails, passed them on to WikiLeaks, and the people at the center of it, the people who actually did the forensic examination, they can't say that that was what happened. They are not sure. They don't know. It's all a matter of opinion. They have no conclusive evidence. And 3 years it's taken for this to come out. Mueller, of course, would have known this. Nothing about it in his report. You talk about the fact that all these people in the Congress, Democrats and Republicans, they would have known it too. None of them has said anything about it. I think this is absolutely explosive. There's a very forceful piece by Ray McGovern, who is the chief of the veteran intelligence professionals for sanity for VIPS, who've been arguing that this whole story of the hack and the exfiltration, the stealing of the emails, is simply doesn't stack up. And he, of course, has pounced on this, as he should, And again, it's an article that if people want to read, they can find it. It's all there. It's on Consortium News. It makes exactly this point. And coming back to the recap, let's just go over those four things one more time. The collusion, we know there was no collusion. We know the Steele dossier, well, I'm not going to use the word I use in the WhatsApp message, but there was no collusion. The Steele dossier is, shall we say, discredited. We know that Flynn was entrapped. I was wrong to say it was just an FBI entrapment. He was entrapped by all sorts of people. I have no doubt Obama was in the background pulling the strings. We know that the social media campaign, it all disintegrated when there was court case. I think people tend to forget this. It's one of these events which has somewhat been overtaken. But if you remember, if our viewers remember, Mueller issued an indictment against this Russian oligarch, Prigozhin, supposedly Putin's cook and his company, that, you know, this troll farm in St. Petersburg, which supposedly carried out this social media campaign. And to their horror, Prigozhin and his company came along and demanded to see the evidence. And rather than provide any evidence, the Department of Justice just dropped the whole case. So that has essentially fallen apart. And now we learn the original starting point of the whole story, the theft of the emails, was the alleged theft of the emails by the Russians via a hack. The only people who have given any evidence that that happened, who are CrowdStrike, they can't confirm it. They have no conclusive evidence of it. It might not have taken place at all. So what have we got left? Well, Papadopoulos, which is a big story. That's a big story which we'll have to cover, I think, in another video. But can I just say, you're absolutely right. That's going to fall apart too. And there's an awful lot of interest there to find out also. It is amazing how, over the course of the last few weeks, Russiagate is unraveling, and it's unraveling at lightning speed. And Obama, as you said, is scared.
So many lives destroyed, Alexander. So many lives destroyed. So many lives taken. I'm wearing my Assange shirts. Let's not forget about Assange. Absolutely. Let's not forget about SR. People who are watching this video will know who I am referring to with regards to the DNC, the hacking, CrowdStrike, and all that. So let's not forget about SR as well. No. Alexander, any final comments? This was a long video, but we covered a lot of ground here.
We cover a lot of grounds because it's all coming out so fast that it's sometimes a struggle to keep up with it all. But let's never forget what happened. This was a vast and terrifying conspiracy to overturn an American election. I mean, I'm not using qualifications anymore. I think once upon a time, qualifications were in order because we didn't know enough. We now know enough to say, to call a spade, to describe this what it was. And at the center, who is at the center of all of this? The President of the United States, Barack Obama. Now, I've seen comparisons with Watergate. You know, the Democrats love bringing up Watergate. This is far bigger than Watergate. And what Obama, to me, seems to have done puts Nixon completely in the shade. I mean, it was all about with Nixon. It was all about a shady burglary, which he carried out by a group of, you know, people who were working on the side. They weren't, you know, public employees or anything like that. And which he sort of tried in a kind of clumsy way to cover up. This is the President of the United States. His entire administration, the intelligence agencies of the United States, under the instructions of that president and of that administration, acting to overturn an election, or at the very least, to discredit and destroy his successor. Now, tell me, can it get worse than that? I don't see how.
No, I mean, real lives were taken. Real lives were lost. Real people's Futures were destroyed.
The United States has been held in paralysis for 3 years. Donald Trump has struggled to get his foreign policy together. He's faced constant crisis within his own administration, within his own White House. The media has been corrupted and has become, is very close, I think, now to being completely discredited. This is going to be far worse for them, by the way, than Iraq WMD ever was, because they were an active participant in this affair. Relations with Russia have been completely destroyed. I cannot see a single good thing out of this. In fact, I mean, talking about good things is absurd. I mean, this was an enterprise that has done massive damage to the American Constitution, to US-Russian relations, to the workings of the US government, and of course, as you absolutely rightly say, to many, many people who were personally involved. And I'm going to add one to the one whom we must never forget, which who is Donald Trump himself. I mean, he is the elected president of the United States, and he's been constantly called every day by all kinds of people, a Russian agent, a man who does extraordinary and bizarre things in hotels in Moscow, gets filmed doing it and blackmailed by the FSB. And he has to put up with this for 3 years. And he's supposed to be governing the country at the same time. As I said, it can't get worse. And please, let's see these investigations through. And let's get all of the people who did this thing, including the man whom I'm confident was at the center of it, called to account. Now, maybe that's the last is a tall order. Maybe I'm asking for too much by asking for it. But I think one should ask for it. If you don't ask for it, you don't get it. So that's what I think we should be pushing for. We should be pushing for proper investigations, always remembering that the other side showed no inhibitions about going for innocent people and going for a president of the United States who was innocent of the allegations that they were accusing him of. They showed no inhibitions at all.
Barack Obama, the worst U.S. president probably in history.
Well, you know, if what I believe about him is true, and I've given my reasons for my belief, I would agree. I mean, you know, forget about others, you know, the other presidents you hear about, Nixon, you know, Harding.
Nothing. The Nixon's nothing compared to this.
These guys are absolute nothing. I mean, you can accuse some of them of incompetence. You can accuse some of them of corruption. You can accuse some of them of starting illegal wars, which is a very, very terrible and bad thing.
Obama did plenty of that too.
Obama did all those things, and he did far more.
Yeah, he caused irreparable damage to the United States.
Absolutely.
I wonder if the U.S. can ever come back from this. I really do wonder.
Well,
did to the U.S.
The only way it can do that is by investigating these people and holding them to account.
Re-electing Trump in 2020.
Alex, I have been saying this now, I think, for well over a year, or at least a year. I've been saying I'm not a US citizen. The only reason, but the overriding reason why I want to see Donald Trump re-elected in November is to sort out this thing so that we get to the bottom of it, find out what happened, hold the people responsible to account, because it's only going to happen if Trump is re-elected. And for the United States, the stakes could not be higher. If you don't deal with this thoroughly and completely, the United States is no longer a constitutional republic anymore.
You will lose your country.
You will lose your country.
Yeah, if you don't deal with this, you will lose your country.
You will lose your democracy. You will lose your constitution. All the things that Americans swear allegiance to and hold dear.
All right, Alexander, let's leave it there. We'll keep it short, guys. If you like this video, subscribe. Please hit that like. It really helps us out a lot. And also comment. That also helps us out a lot. PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star. Please donate to us. And of course, the Duran Shop. Pick up some merchandise. Alexander, any final words? Let's wrap it up. This was a long video.
It was a long video, but never forget to get our wonderful things from our shop, our amazing magic mugs. I would remind our viewers again that we have been consistently right about Russiagate. We've been the first people, I think this is true, the first people to be pointing the finger at Obama. Now, other people are doing it. Lots of other people are doing it. But we were doing it 2 years ago. 2 years ago. How did we do it? We did it because we drink from mugs like this. The best mugs in the world, and they come from the Duran. And our viewers who buy them, they tell us the same thing. They are, you know, the feedback we're getting is amazing. Even somebody in one of our lives sent us feedback about it and said, what great mugs these are. They are the best mugs you can find. And if you drink from them, you will achieve that same level of understanding that we show on our programs. And we don't just have great and amazing mugs. We have great and amazing shirts, our amazing polo shirts, the best polo shirts you can have. We have the best t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made, all with a double-headed eagle of the Duran, which you see there. We've also got V-neck shirts, by the way. We've got hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we have ebooks. And one of those ebooks, of course, is on Russiagate. But we've also got ebooks on Ukrainegate, on Brexit, on Epstein, on the oil price crash. But, you know, Russiagate, if you want to see how right we were, you can go to that ebook and you will see it all there. So come to our shop, support us. As Alex said, we're always under pressure. We got it right, but some people don't like the fact that we get it right and we say it as it is. So support us, come to our shop, be the owner of these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander, let's sign off. Take care, everybody.